Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
At your service, it's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, welcome to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts. I am not Rich Orris. I'm Brad Range. If you're listening on 97.1, you know me from the Annie Fry Show, weekdays noon to 3. I'm filling in for Rich. I've got Jody Hall here and Brad Hagen from Mosby Building Arts. They're both home consultants. And for the last hour, we've been talking a lot about the storms and what's been going on there. The phone lines are open. The call-in number is 314-436-7900. We've got Marsha on the line. Marsha, let's get to your call here. You've been very patient. Thank you for waiting, and thank you for hanging on. What question do you have for us?
Well, thank you for getting to me. I wanted to find out, I have a roof that was the kitchen was added on to, and it's lower than the rest of the roof, and we had a problem, I don't know how many years ago, with a leak, and someone put up tin, and it went down gradually because it's where the roof meets the bricks of the house, and it had been leaking there in the kitchen, and when we got, I don't remember exactly when it was, but a couple months ago, I ended up getting a leak when there was a very hard rain, and so someone that I hired put up over the tin, I think it was tin that was gradually going down. It hadn't leaked in years, probably 40 years. And it, I found somebody else that knows about roofing, and he put up a solid, it's probably metal, I don't know. So, but anyway, it
so Marsha, where's it leaking at now? Where's the water coming in at?
It's the same place.
So is it on the outside, like where you said, where it meets the brick?
Yes.
Okay. Does your house?
It was just a sprinkling both times.
Yeah.
Sprinkling of a little of area in the kitchen where it sprinkled water.
So it's definitely happening when it's raining. And
it's just when it rains really hard.
When it rains really hard. And then how old is the roof?
The roof was 13 years old.
13 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
So
and
you have a metal roof that meets an asphalt or a shingled roof?
No.
No, it's all metal?
They're both, it's all shingle.
It's all shingle. Okay.
I think we're talking about the counter flashing.
The metal with the counter flash. Yeah, maybe so.
The person that worked on it just recently, only about a month ago maybe, put up a solid piece of metal along the place, but he didn't take the tin part out, and it leaked again with the hard rain we had last night.
Sounds like there might be an apron flashing put over the top of the counter flashing, mm-hmm. and that would require a caulk joint opposed to going into the bricks. You might need to have a roofer come out that does counter flashing and look at that.
Counter flashing?
Yeah. Yep. And any reputable roof company will have a team that does their counter flashing for them and apron flashings as well, and they can get that thing buttoned up for you for sure.
Yeah, it sounds much more flashing driven than the shingle itself. And it sounds like it's maybe happening when it's raining and heavily, and it's probably wind driven potentially as well when that's happening. Water leaks are tough. You don't always know where they're coming from, and then the water takes the path of least resistance on you.
Yeah, well, I had not had any leaks for about 40 years.
Yep. Yeah, I think Jody is correct in the sense of looking at the flashing and counter flashings there and having somebody take a look at that, because even the conditions of the environment that we're in with heavy winds and other storms that maybe have come through have caused a shift in something that's causing that rain water to get in.
Yep. If you call somebody, they'll definitely come out and inspect it for you. If you need a reference, you can just give us a call. We'll be happy to refer you to somebody.
Okay, you don't have anybody off the top of your head?
No, you can call us. We can set up a time that we can come out and take. Which area are you in? I think you're in Illinois.
Yeah, I'm in East Alton, Illinois.
Yeah, so if you give us a call at 314-909-1800, if you need me to say that again, I will. It's 314-909-1800 at Mosby Building Arts, and we can set up a time and somebody can come down, take a look.
Okay.
Thanks again for your call.
Yeah, Marsha, we appreciate you calling in and hanging on for as long as you did, and hopefully we've got a good solution for you.
I hope so.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks.
All right, so you're listening to the Mosby, I'm sorry, you're listening to the Home and Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts. I'm Brad Range. I'm filling in for Rich. He got diverted in the storm last night. Brad Hagen is here with me, as is Jody Hall. They're both home consultants. Brad was telling me that Rich's flight practically touched down and then took back off with the storms coming in. So
he's like, yeah. So I think he got a secondary part of his trip that he wasn't planning for. So
yeah. In the first hour, we were talking a little bit about the different best practices, insurance, kind of the first steps now that you it's daylight out, you can go out and look at your house and stuff like that. And I just wanted to let you guys kind of recap that for our audience on 97.1, because we've been over on KMLX. So now that we're on 97.1, let's get our 97.1 audience caught up to speed. So the storm comes through. What do you do next?
Yeah, I mean, you have that opportunity today, right? Where the calm has happened. We can go outside, take a look at your house. Jody said earlier, which I think is a good thing, before you clean up, before you do anything, take pictures of the environment that the storm left you in, to show, to your insurance company what's going on. And then, drill down and do more specific photos and documenting all around your house of those particular areas, windows, siding, roofing, from a distance. Please don't climb up there unless it's a safe application. But document all of those things so you can show the insurance company, because they're also going to be backlogged, you know, you're not going to just get to them immediately. You're going to have some time here. There's a lot of people that have been affected by these storms. Adjusters, you know, have a calendar as well that you have to get on and get out there and take a look at you. But the biggest thing is start at the top, work your way around the house on the outside. Really analyzing stuff. And we talked a little bit about the tree stuff as well. You know, take in the environment around your yard. Make sure it's safe. Make sure that there is not limbs hanging out of trees that are potentially going to come down later. Even look for cracks and fractures in those trees as these trees bud out, that they're not going to break, you know, weeks down the road. I mean, just as simple as for me, I walked outside and I had those string lights,
mm-hmm.
like five of the bulbs had broken and there's glass, right? You just got to be observant. It's like, oh gosh, I have dogs. I want to get all this cleaned up, or I'm going to have another set of problems that I have to deal with glass and paws. So,
yeah.
And even your kids, right? So you got to look around for that stuff. And then I think you come inside. I mean, we're talking the simple stuff. I mean, we're not talking about the people that have really been compromised here and have some big major damages, but you know, they know where they're at, and we feel really bad about that whole situation. And there's safe things. You want to make sure your house is safe. I mean, the guy that had the garage door that blew in,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that can create a very unsafe environment. Garage doors themselves can be, you know, stabilizing them and making sure they're safe. But the structure was compromised because the wind blew in that garage door and compromised the structure of his building. So, but then come inside. I mean, you also got to understand we had a lot of water at one time. You want to go into the basement. You want to look and see, are you experiencing, you know, damp carpet? Are you, you know, they don't know about you're in the crawl space, Brad.
Right.
They didn't hear that story earlier.
Yeah, so
and how there was water coming through the foundation.
Yeah, I'll tell that story on the other side of the break here. And phone lines are open. The number is 314-436-7900. We can answer your questions about the storm, best practices. We had a caller in the first hour that had their garage door blow in and it caused some foundational issues. Or we can just talk about, you know, if you got some home improvement plans you want to do, we're open to talking about that as well. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. And I'm your host, Brad Range. What I want. Man, I listen to this song and it always makes me think of like happy dog videos. Have you seen the videos of the dogs like prancing around to this?
Oh my God.
Oh, it's great. Hey, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts. I'm Brad Range. I'm filling in for Rich. His flight got diverted. And then I'm also being joined here by Jody Hall and Brad Hagen of Mosby Building Arts. They're home consultants there. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. We're happy to take your calls. We're talking about anything home related right now. We talked about bamboo in the first segment. So if you have any questions for us, go ahead and call in. We've got Alan on the line right now. Alan, what is your question for us?
More about insulation on my pole barn.
Okay.
I have a fairly new pole barn. It's the traditional 5.5 by 5.5 posts with the 29 gauge steel. And then the girders, or not girders, but the
trusses.
Horizontal pieces. Yeah, well, the ones on the sidewalls. I'm sorry.
Okay. I forget
the
name.
Anyway, they're 2x4s.
Yep.
So my question is, I have 1.5 inches airspace between that, if I was to put some insulation against that or some wall. Is airspace a good insulator, or what would I put between in that 1.5 inch area that would actually touch up to the metal?
I'm gonna say I like the airspace there. I like the air gap in that space. I mean, you can go out, and if you want to fully insulate that particular area, then I would use rigid foam or spray foam in there. But putting foam in between the post that, you know, is roughly 5 inches deep gives you this air barrier or an air circulation that's going on there as well, which means that you're not trapping water and it is breathing. So you're also kind of creating a little bit of a thermal gap there with the insulation. So if you want to insulate those 2x4s that are 1.5 inches, I would use something that's more of a rigid foam material. You can buy that in the 4x8 sheets and cut it down and put it into those spaces. And then put another layer of insulation over the top of that, if you would like, in the sense of a fiberglass or something like that. So you can mix those two.
That was part of my thought, was to do an inch and a half foam that would butt right up to the metal, and then put my bat insulation on top of that, you know, into my post. I just didn't know if that inch and a half touching the metal, did I need a vapor barrier or anything like that, or not necessary, or should I just leave that inch and a half as airspace?
No, but you bring up and that was kind of my next point here, is to, if I was doing that inch and a half, I would use something more rigid that doesn't get eaten up by any mold or anything like that. But maybe between the inch and a half and like a fiberglass insulation, I would use a vapor barrier between those two. So then you don't have any moisture coming through and getting into that fiberglass insulation, if that makes sense. Is that?
Yeah. I mean, I would just use the foam board. I've used that before, the 4x8 sheet.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't realize there may be moisture between that and, say, bat insulation.
There can be, because you're kind of having condensation form between two temperatures there. I mean, the fiberglass should give you enough barrier there, but it would be nice to put that vapor barrier. Plus, it's accessible, I'm guessing, from the inside of the pole barn to put that material, right? You could put the rigid foam in from the outside, then put a vapor barrier, and then put the fiberglass insulation for providing some kind of separation there. It's also going to help with wind and air coming through, you know, some penetration in that way. So.
Okay, and then last question is, if I left the 1.5 inch airspace, can I go with just the real thin foam board before I put up my bat insulation? Or how thick would that backing need to be?
I think if I did that, are you talking like a fan foil, kind of a almost a quarter inch?
Yes.
I think personally I would probably go with the 3/4, you know, like a thinner sheet. And then put it, but just layer it on the inside and leave your air barrier there at that inch and a half on the outside. You could do the fan foil. I just think it's just not going to hold up as well probably over time in that sense, because it doesn't have a whole lot of anything behind it, right? It has no rigidity. It's kind of big open gaps, if that makes sense. And Jody, if you have anything, chime in, please, in this regard.
So. My only thoughts are, make sure you're not using the white ball foam. You're using like some kind of polystyrene rigid foam.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times mice and things like that ball foam, and it'll be a problem later on.
Yeah, they'll eat through it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And with the metal, the typical barn metal, that opening is still at the bottom from the outside. Obviously, air is coming in. No need to seal any of that up, correct? Just let that air flow. That's my insulation part.
There's some things out on the market that you can buy. Trying to think of this one from Amazon. That's like it's like a corrugated vent that's got some netting on it, and it would actually kind of stop some bug infiltration and things. But I think you're completely fine just leaving that gap at the bottom and letting the air circulate up through there.
Fantastic.
All right.
Thank you guys so much.
Alan, thanks for
Appreciate my call.
Thanks for calling in, Alan.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. So can I be completely honest with you and vulnerable with you guys right now?
Yeah, for sure.
I listened to that whole conversation. I have no idea what you were talking about.
Well, we should probably recap it, because there's probably a lot of people out there listening and saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So first of all, right, this gentleman has a pole barn structure, which is a building, you know, he doesn't have a foundation. He is using like your deck. You have a pier and you have a column. So you're still kind of structurally supporting that pole barn with piers in the ground. Those go up, and then I'm missing the name at the moment on a Saturday morning. Is it purlins or something? Is that what we call them going across there with the 2x4? So that's providing, think of where the siding goes, you would put sheeting on the outside.
Right.
He's using those 2x4s on the pole barn to create rigidity.
Okay.
And then it typically has a truss kind of system for the roof. And then it has his particular one is built with metal.
Okay.
On the outside. I mean, we were talking a little bit about this. Earlier, barn dominium kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That can be built that way, and you can put a big flat slab concrete floor in there and then live in that as some people do. And he's got this pole barn that he's probably now like, okay, I've got this thin sheet of metal. How am I going to insulate this? Yeah. Whether it's for his shop or maybe as, you know, using it as a barn dominium kind of situation. Yeah. But building structure is the pole barn is built without a foundation underneath it.
So they just build it on a slab usually?
Well,
or
are you building the piers. And it, I mean,
so you may not even have a...
You could have a gravel floor in
okay.
it, right?
Yeah.
Poles are actually into the ground.
Yeah. Okay. Is that why they call it a pole barn?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. So there's
okay.
poles around the whole linear edges mm-hmm. of the thing. And then the cross structures he's talking about... Purlins, yeah. So that
yeah.
you're nailing onto it. That gives you a structure to nail to.
And it provides the rigidity yeah. for the poles and all that other stuff. Okay. So he was looking for insulation.
So he's trying to insulate it. And I think that, you know, there's definitely more than one way to get to there. And the reason why we were talking about using that rigid foam in combination, which a lot of people do even in houses now, right? They might do a little bit of a... For a cost savings, do an inch and a half of spray foam versus spray foaming the whole thing and then putting fiberglass on top of that. Mm. It's kind of what he was, you know, implying with doing the inch and a half rigid foam and then putting fiberglass. He can get a very decent R value out of that
yeah.
and insulate that space. But he's also in the situation that he's talking about, you have fiberglass kind of right where water can, you know,
yeah.
having some kind of vapor barrier or break between that, which you can do with the rigid foam. That's what we were kind of trying to talk through and explain, and then potentially adding a vapor barrier in there, which, you know, a lot of people, I mean, if we're talking kind of this and tying it back to weather and that kind of question, you need, you know, a lot of houses were built without vapor barrier underneath them, and that vapor barrier is the thin Tyvek kind of stuff that you see when they're building houses. That's really what's stopping the water from infiltrating into your building structure.
So is that what the black plastic is in the floor of my crawl space? Is that a vapor barrier?
100%.
Okay.
It was put down to be a vapor okay. barrier, so you don't have this infiltration of water through the soil up into there. And I'm sure it just made it so much better for you to be yeah. in there, Brad.
Yeah, it was. Oh man, Jody, I was telling Brad earlier that. Last night, I was in and out of my crawl space two different times, and when I was in there the first time, I have a crawl space. Whenever I'm sitting like I am now, just sitting flat on my rear end, my head is just below the floor. I don't know what you would call those.
Floor joists.
Yeah. And I've got a concrete footing, and then on top of that concrete footing is cinder block foundation. And I was sitting down in there, and whenever I go down in there, the storm was loud up top, so I go down in there, and it gets a little bit quieter because there's, like, you know, earth around me, and I can't really hear what's going on up there. But then I heard what I thought sounded like a sump pump running, you know, water. I'm like, what is that? And so I've got my flashlight, and I shine it down, and I get to the end, and I notice it's a stream. Like, if you had, like, a little fountain with a little boy that's, like, peeing into the fountain, it's a stream like that coming out from in between my cinder blocks, and it's hitting that vapor barrier, that black plastic vapor barrier. And I know on that side of my house, that's where one of my downspouts comes out, and I've got some pavers that I put down because that's where I put my garbage cans mm-hmm. on the outside. And so I'm wondering, you know, do I need to worry about this? Is this something major that'll get worse? I imagine it'll get worse because that's just the way water works.
It
erodes
yes,
over
sure.
time. How important is it to try to plug that leak up and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think go back to that. The biggest thing is you know, why is the leak happening, right? And
yeah.
we didn't talk about this as much, but things that people probably saw with that amount of water, right, is I don't know if it goes into a drain pipe next to the house or if it's just right there. But
yeah.
if it's dumping right there, it's probably just getting caught up. And you probably should pipe that water.
Pipe it a little farther
out.
You
know, away from the house. But people that have pipes buried underneath the ground from their downspouts that are corrugated could now be all clogged up from all the years of, you know, soil and roots getting in there and stuff.
Yeah.
And find out that right where those downspouts are coming, you know, down into that pipe and the water is pooling outside. Well, that just goes right down the foundation wall
right.
and finds its way inside, whether it's a short foundation or, you know, a full basement foundation does the same thing.
All right. We got a couple more segments of the show coming up next. We want to get your calls and your thoughts. If you want to call in, talk to us about any storm questions you might have, your storm experiences. If you had to hang out in the crawl space like I did with your dog who hated you for taking him down there, anything like that, go ahead and give us a call, 314-436-7900. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Sing it, Brad.
He said no.
You're listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1. I am not Rich. I am Brad. Rich had his flight diverted, so he will be back with us next week. I am joined here by Jody Hall and Brad Hagen of Mosby Building Arts, their home consultants. And we're taking calls. We just had a really good call from, I believe his name was Alan, and he had some insulation questions about a pole barn. And then I learned what a pole barn is, why a pole barn is a pole barn, and what exactly they were talking about. So if you're like me and you're not knowing much about anything building, this is the show for you. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. There's a wealth of information that is going on here. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. Any questions you might have, Brad and Jody will have the answers. And if they don't have the answers, they know where to get the answers. So go ahead and give us a call. That number again is 314-436-7900. We were talking before the break about this water issue that I was having in my basement, and off air a little bit, I was kind of explaining more what's going on. Grading is a huge issue apparently. And if, for those of you who don't know what grading is, that's, you know, the slope of the ground around your home. I was telling them that I noticed that at my house, there's some certain areas around the foundation that I can see where water pools, or I'll go out there after it rains and there'll be pooling water there. And it looked like at one point the grading was correct, but now you're saying what's happened?
So I asked you when your house was built, right? And all houses, when they were built, have a foundation dug out around it, and then that is backfilled. And you were talking in the early 2000s that your house was built, and over the time, you know, all these rains, the soil has compacted, and the soil really close to your foundation has pulled down.
Okay.
Which now has created basically a trap. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, this place where water can trap there and water's still looking for its way out. So it's filling up. In your particular situation in the crawl space last night, you know, it was pressuring in that particular spot and found the weakest point and was squirting in through the foundation blocks, right?
It looked like it was coming in between the cracks.
Right. And, if you wouldn't have been down there, it's probably been going on for a long time, quite honestly, and you just happened to be in that situation and found it. So how do you correct? And I think this leads to anybody that's having water issues in their basement or crawl space areas. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, even if you're going to like have somebody come in and put a sump pump system in and manage that, there are other things that should be managed outside of your house prior to doing that, because all you have then is a system that's constantly pumping water out that's getting in. So in your particular situation, you would want to have somebody come in and regrade around the house. Get that soil to slope away, allowing the water to run away from the house in an unimpeded fashion that's not causing it to trap and then wanting to leak inside the basement, right? So, and to the other kind of component, you said it was close to a downspout and water's dumping there.
Yeah.
You know, Jody and I were talking and saying about, you know, you want to get that water 10 feet to 20 feet out away from the house when it's coming through a downspout and getting it clear of there. But, you know, even if you short-termed wanted to go get a corrugated pipe and attach it to the downspout, and so the water was going away, that might be the short-term elimination of that. It's also a good thing to see, oh, did that help fix the problem, right?
Yeah.
A cheap kind of inexpensive way. Is that helping get the water away that it's not coming into the space? And then you can make the investment of digging and burying pipe underneath the ground to get it away.
Yeah.
And so if you do bury pipe, try to always use solid pipe opposed to the corrugated pipe.
Okay.
The corrugated pipe, it doesn't have much structure to it.
Yeah.
And after about 7 years, it starts, you know, ovaling out and collapsing. Yeah. And so then, you know, after 15 years, you're digging that pipe out and changing it. But if you use a solid pipe, like you waste PVC style pipe, they make thinner gauge that it's fine. Or you can even use 40 gauge, you know, it doesn't matter. Just solid pipe will hold up forever.
Okay. So that was going to be my next question. What kind of product should somebody use for that? But you're saying a PVC?
Yeah, PVC is best. And they even have, you know, ones that have little holes drilled into them so that water can get into them and then drain solid and clear properly. They just hold up a lot better in their solid structure around, opposed to the corrugated ones or the cheap ones, $3-4, you know, you can get a 10 foot section. That's great for diagnosing the problem and getting water away temporarily.
Yeah.
But long term, if you're going to bury it, do something solid.
So what you're telling me is you want to really get that water. The number you gave out was 10 to 15 foot. So those little like trays that you can buy at Home Depot where the drink
splash block is called. Yeah.
That's not going to get it done.
No. And if you're doing a splash block onto concrete, that's one thing. And the concrete's letting it roll away from the house. But you definitely, you know, want to get that you know, even if you don't have a splash box, roll it further away from the house.
Yeah.
Even if it's on top of the ground before you bury it, to, you know, get it 10 foot or more.
Just get it out of there.
The nice thing about the rigid pipe as well is that you can actually maintain it. You know, just like a plumber coming in and needing to clear out your soil stack in your house, now that you have that rigid pipe, if you do end up having root intrusion or something like that, it can be cleaned out and maintaining it versus digging that pipe back up out of the ground.
So I guess my question about this buried pipe is it more like a lateral my parents had this. I can't think
like
of the
name. Like a sewer lateral?
Yeah, a sewer lateral. My parents had laterals because I grew up in the country.
Yeah.
Or does that pipe actually need to go someplace and exit with an opening?
It's exiting with an opening going to daylight. And if your grade of your yard is sloping away in a way, you just want to get it far enough away and it'll drain into your yard at that 10 to 15 feet range. So,
and if you can't get it to slope to drain to daylight, you can put a box, a collection box out at the end, and that pipe will fill the box up and overflow into the yard.
Because that's what I was thinking is like when I'm imagining my yard, and I told you this about originally when my neighborhood was built, the drainage for the neighborhood, for the fields that were behind it and all that stuff, that they had that ditch set up for my backyard, kind of went through there. But there's not a lot of slope at the top.
It's pretty flat.
Yeah. So I was like trying to figure out how I might do that. And so you're saying it's a drain?
Yeah, the pressure of the water is going to push that water to where it's, you know, path of least resistance.
Okay.
And then it will, if you have a pop-up or, you know, a collection drain at the end, you know, 10 by 12 or something like that, the water will fill that and then come out of that and then get far enough away from the house.
And that's something that, like, if you mow your lawn or whatever, that you can just mow right over and it wouldn't be an issue. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're coming up on a break here. So what I want to do is let's take a break here. We got two more segments left, and then that'll be the show. Oh, one more segment left. Oh, time flies when you're having fun. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building and Arts. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. If you have any questions, if you're tired of listening to me talk about what's going on around my house and you have some questions about what's going on around yours, Brad and Jody here would love to answer your questions and get you a solution to the issues that you're facing. Again, those numbers are 314-436-7900. You're listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. All right, welcome back to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building Arts. Rich is off today. His flight got delayed, diverted. He has to drive in from a different city. Apparently, his wheels were about to touch ground in St. Louis, and they're like, nope, we're diverting your flight. We got bad weather, so the storm last night caused Rich to not be here today. So he's on his way in. He'll be back next week. And if you guys are like, well, I don't like this new guy, my name is Brad. If you don't like this new guy, he'll be back next week. Brad Hagan. Brad Hagan is awesome. Brad Range is he doesn't know much about building or arts. But he'll be back. But these guys sitting next to me, Brad Hagan and Jody Hall, are from Mosby Building Arts, and they can answer all your questions. I was just asking them a little bit off air. I wanted to know a little bit more about Mosby Building Arts and what it is you guys can do, because we've talked a lot today about repair and putting stuff back together, but sometimes you want to upgrade and improve. And I was just kind of curious of what kind of services Mosby offers and like what that would look like.
Sorry about that.
He was pointing to you.
Yes, we can provide you with like something we call a PSA, which is a personal service agreement, where we can, you know, do the renderings, present you with full plans and options for what it is that we come out to take a look at. And sorry about that. So we can provide you with all that information and give you options as far as, you know, A and B scenarios, and you can see renderings of all the different options and pricing. And so you kind of make your best plan, and then you make your selection to where you can, you know, decide which way to go and then follow your plan. Yeah.
So a person comes to you, they say they can just come to you with a dream.
Yep.
I want to do this. And you guys go, that's completely ridiculous, but here's how you can do it. Or that's great. We can help you out here. Let's do it. Here's some drawings.
Yeah, we provide a lot of services, and part of it is we try to help the homeowner go through the stages of what it is that they want to do. Does it make sense what you want to do? you know, value of the home versus what you want to do, how long you want to live here. There's a lot of questions that we want to make sure that they're educated and so that they're making the right decisions for them and their family. But yeah, we do all that stuff.
Yeah.
So
and we're full service. I mean, I think it's important to know that Mosby's not just the big project out there. We are, you know, we have exterior division that does windows and sidings and roofs as well as bathrooms, kitchens, additions. We deal with people that have existing homes.
Yeah.
And add on to them. And the part that Jody's talking about is definitely the piece that people come to us with their dream on their napkin. That husband and wife had at
that's
dinner.
That's where I would put mine.
Right. And then they show up to us and we turn that into an answer that, hey, that's that room addition that we've always been dreaming about, or that master primary bathroom that we've always wanted, and walk you through that process and hold your hand and make sure that you get to the end result that you were aiming for.
So you show up, you say, okay, this is what I want to do. And you can take them from dream on a napkin to finished result, but you don't just say we can get you the finished result. You were mentioning something, Jody, about a plan.
Yeah, we have something we offer is a PSA, which is a personal service agreement, meaning, you know, we can sit down with the designer and come up with, we draw the existing conditions, and then we give some options of, we draw the plan of the dream, and then sometimes the designer will turn that on its head and present something, a whole secondary option that gives them, you know, they didn't even think about. And
right.
So but then we can present those, both of those. And then sometimes those spawn another option, which we marry part of A and part of B and come up with a C, you know? So it's, it really is a collaboration of a lot of great minds that bring you to what you want before you ever swing a hammer or spend any big money.
Right. Right. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. If you have any of those plans that we were just talking about that you've drawn up on a napkin, this big dream that you want to do, and you want to ask if you want to ask Jody or Brad here how you can go about doing that, or if you just got a project that you're working on in your house right now and you want an answer on how you can do that, or what's the best plan of action of accomplishing or finishing that project, or if you're stuck, go ahead and give us a call at 314-436-7900, and they can get you some answers to that, and they can get you some solutions. We love to hear from you. We're closing out the show here. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes, and you know, we've talked a lot today about the storms. We've talked about, you know, best practices, looking at water. You know, it's funny how whenever you're going through life, you know, my pastor always says life happens. Mm-hmm. The other thing he says is, well, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but life happens. And so it's interesting how you don't really know what some issues are until you face them and you're in the midst of them. And one of the things I want us to remember here too is if you've been listening to the news on KMLX and as they've gone through that, and then you pop over here and you're listening to the rest of the show, there are a lot of people that have been affected by the storms, and maybe you're out there and you're on your way over to help your neighbor clean up their yard or whatever. Thank you for doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, people don't really understand how much that sort of thing is appreciated and how much that sort of thing helps. I remember whenever the tornado hit, what was it, the Amazon building?
Mm-hmm.
Several years ago. That was close to a friend of mine's parents' house. And people going out there, you know, they're pulling pieces of Amazon insulation out of the woods around their house. They lost a really nice barn, and it's unfortunate that happened because I think it was over 100 years old, but they had somebody, you know, it shifted it on the foundation, but they had somebody come out and deconstruct it, and that wood went to, you know, I don't know, whatever they use, old barn tender.
So you had to build something else, that memory for somebody, right?
Yeah. So there are people out there, there are people hurting. I believe I heard Scott J. Gow say that, what was it, 10 people have
10
died?
10 deaths because of the storm today,
So if you're out and about today and your house is fine, but your neighbors need some house, be that person that goes out there. They try to help them out in any way that you can. You know, if you got a chainsaw and you can help clear some wood, be that person. Be a good person. Go out there and help them out. And if you are cleaning up and from the damage at your place and you need help, let me encourage you to say it's okay to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are out there to help. People are out there to they're looking for ways to do good things. And one of the things I always say is be the change that you want to see in the world. So if you think there should be something different in the world, be that person that starts acting like that. And then whenever you start acting like that, that'll be contagious.
Yep. There's a neighbor today that needs your help for sure. Help picking that up, cleaning up, and you know, making their day brighter because they're looking at a pretty big hill they need to climb because of what the storm has done.
Well, yeah. And just remember, this is just stuff. You know, people are the most important. And if, you know, it's overwhelming, I'm sure, for a lot of folks, but just know that, you know, your health and safety is by far the most important thing.
Yep. We got about a minute left here. Guys, thank you for coming in. Thank you for filling in. I know it was a little bit last minute, kind of a scramble there. So thank you guys for doing that. I feel like, and this is the phrase that the other phrase that my pastor uses, he says, put the cookies on the bottom shelf. And what that means is whenever you talk about something, whenever you explain something, explain it in a way that's easy to understand. And I feel like I've learned a bunch here. I told you guys off the air, I'm not a building person. I don't do construction, but I feel like I've learned a lot here. And I think you guys do a great show. We are going to wrap up here. Rich will be back next week. Same time, same stations. And we'll have that for you live. Thank you for tolerating me. I'm Brad Range. I'm here with Brad Hagan and Jody Hall. And you've been listening to the Home Improvement Show presented by Mosby Building and Arts on 97.1 FM Talk.